gospel. I appreciate you guys having me back here. It's been a while. It's always comforting to see some old friends. No, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be here today to give the word out. Well, today's message is a little more, I feel, with these times, intense because of the fact that, you know, if you think about it, we live in such a society now to where, you know, the media and, you know, the Twitter and Facebook and all these media outlets and you know, it focuses on, you know, basically us, you know, ourselves and stuff like that. And, you know, my message today is dying to ourselves and looking more towards God, Jesus. No doubt about it. I mean, everybody, the devil is so clever. He's got everybody busy about their own business every day, all day. Any way he can get your mind off of God, he's won. So the question is, what did we do before selfies were invented? Do you remember those days, or why it is now wherever we go, we take pictures of ourselves with whatever we're doing? 2 Timothy says it best. It says, but understand this, that in the last days there'll come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. You know, that's interesting. Lovers of self or selfies. That's what the word says, you know. And as Christians, our daily walk, we need to stay focused, stay on track. Because he who began a good work in us wants to fulfill that. It isn't just dropping off. And especially in the churches nowadays, you know, you see people dropping out or not keeping focused. The last days really are going to be very bad in the church. And what happens is false doctrine and false preaching creep in. See, we hear the word in Timothy, creeps in to the church. It slips in there unawares in the last days. The best thing we can do is to get our minds off ourselves and look at someone better than you and me, and that's God. Psalm 27 says, this is David speaking. It says, I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking Him in His temple. What's this mean? Constant fellowship, gazing at Him, not us. I mean, what's going on in heaven? I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine, where's my phone? Can you imagine being in heaven with God and say, hey, wait a minute. Let me get a selfie with you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this blasphemy? Constant fellowship. See, we're supposed to be gazing on Him, not us. What's going on? And everybody's running around not taking selfies. Everyone is staring at God. They're staring at Jesus because Jesus is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Jesus gets the glory. Why would you need a mirror in heaven? That's so true. Why would we need a mirror in heaven? He dwells in unapproachable light. Can you imagine this? Unapproachable light, where you can't even open your eyes. You'll fall dead at His feet. I was talking to my brother a while back, and he was reading a passage in Luke saying when God sent His angel to deliver good news, He says, when Gabriel, which I talked to Danny about this yesterday, he says the hair on his head stand at the top of the set. He goes, I am Gabriel. He goes, I come and I stand in the presence of Almighty God. Can you imagine that? Standing in his presence? I can't believe that. It's just glorious. I want to stare at the Lord in all his glory. Millions of angels, think about this, millions of angels worship and stare at him all day, and yet many of us would rather look in the mirror. And we wonder why we're miserable, and we need to take our eyes off ourselves, and we need to look at God and look at others. As an example, that was a good thing Alana and Sabrina did the other day, visiting Anita Donaldson. You know, she was a sister here at this church. You know, visiting the widows, visiting the poor, helping the poor, absolutely, visiting the sick. That's what life's about. And that's a good thing. We haven't seen her in a while, and may we pray for her and her caregiver, Jerry. You know, every one of us has been given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When you're a believer in God, you've got that Holy Spirit possessing you. God has supernaturally gifted each and every one of us that has the Spirit, and that will work through you to bless others. You notice why people don't, you know, care about others or just think about themselves so much, is that they really don't have the Spirit to guide them to do stuff like that. You know, it's just a fact. It'll work through you to bless others. Ever wonder when you witness to others or do something for the Lord, and it's not you, but it's the Spirit that works in you? Has anybody ever noticed that? You know, you get hit with the Spirit to do something, and you know, you just like, wow, I can't, you know, I'm not thinking about myself right now. I'm helping somebody else out. You know, and that's sad. You know, you see that a lot, just with non-believers especially. You know, they hoard their money. They're not generous. They think about themselves. They're selfish. That's a bad spirit, man. That's not a godly spirit. Everyone has at least one gift. One gift. You've got at least one gift you could use for the Lord. No doubt about it. If it's not preaching or doing this ministry or that ministry or the poor, but basic. And one, at least one works. And, you know, because we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love the neighbor as ourself. Philippians 2 says it the best. He says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in the full accord, and of one mind in Christ Jesus. See, we want to be Christ-like, having the same mind. That's why believers, when we fellowship with each other, we're of the same mind. You know, we get around each other here at the church, you know, we can talk about the Lord, talk about Scripture, you know. And, you know, when you get around maybe a non-believer, you don't really have that connection with that person. You really don't really have nothing in common with them, you know. It's in Philippians, it also says, do nothing from what? Selfish ambition. Do nothing or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That's humility. What is he saying? He says, do you get anything from Christ? Do something for Jesus. Do something for others. Be Christ-like. Jesus came here to serve, not to be served. He is our example. He gave his life for many. If we look at the Lord, I mean, he's just incredible. He came to serve us and not be served. He was a servant, you know, and he did many, many miracles and stuff down here that you can't even contain in the books, can't even contain what he's done. He sets the most unbelievable example for all humankind. He's loving, kind, caring, humble. I mean, Almighty God coming in the manner of human flesh to die for us and love us. He's got great love for the humans down here. The human, because why? We are made in his image. We are, you know, every one of us are made in Almighty God's image. I mean, He's said that we are more special than the angels. David, I thought I talked to you about that earlier. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we've got more value than the sparrows. Yep. Yep, absolutely. He really, I mean, what is he mindful of us anyway? I mean, he's the creator of all things. Isn't that amazing? Taking selfies? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just messing with you. No, but yeah, he's very mindful of us. I mean, it's just that he doesn't have to be. He really doesn't have to be. I mean, if you think about it, how powerful God is. I mean, we are like a speck down here, probably. I mean, I look at it as like the earth. The earth is like this, okay? Right? The earth. You know what the sun is like? To the earth is about like that. That's how I look at God. He's so massive. And then right there's the earth. That's us. And he's mindful of us and loves us. Jesus came to rescue us. He came to rescue me from myself. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. We live by faith. If you guys didn't have faith, you wouldn't get in your cars this morning and come to church. Do you know that? The only reason you're here is you have faith. I'm hoping. Well, most of us. You got out of bed. You put your clothes on. You got in your car. You drove down the road. Even though the weather was bad, you still came because of faith. That's the most important thing God wants from each and every one of us, is faith. You know, you read your Bible. It's faith. Whatever you do, you're visiting the poor, you're looking after the widows or whatever. You do it by faith. Kill me, Lord, absolutely, so your spirit can take over and start living in me. Kill me so that I may decrease and you may increase, as John the Baptist says. I must decrease so he can what? Increase. If Jesus were to walk in this church right now, he would not be thinking about himself. Do you know that? Right, David? He wouldn't be thinking about it. So we would talk about Jesus' ministry and all he's done. I mean, he was very selfless. He had, you know, if you think about it, he owned nothing during his ministry. Nowhere to lay his head. Almighty God, he owned nothing. Really, if you think about it, what did he own? Father, not yourself, but what if all thought about doing nothing out of selfish ambition? What if we all thought that way? This is a good one. And when you learn about the Lord and grow in the Lord, you know, instead of getting your bottle of milk, you want to grow. You want to eventually start eating solid food. Right? You don't want to just stay on milk the rest of your life. Hebrews 5:12 says it the best. He goes, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Since he is a child, Paul says, some of you should already have been teachers by now. You know, as we look towards this new year, you know, you look back on all these years that are flying by, 2019, but, you know, are you going to look at this year as saying, well, how am I going to grow in the Lord this year? You know, how are we going to keep escalating? As an example, which is a good one, is this radio ministry is a good thing. Right? It's a good thing. Amen to that. You know, we're trying to increase. We're trying to bring people into the church. That's a good ministry. The kids club. trying to get more people into that. You know, are we looking to just not stay stagnant down here? You know, and especially in these last days, I believe. I mean, everything is completely out of control. No doubt about it. There's no better time than to be in a church. There's no better time to be a Christian. There's no better time to read your Bible every day and focus in on Him, not ourselves, and the world, especially what this world is doing. Christians get murdered and beheaded, and it's funny. I was talking to Dan about that. It's funny. It's just that religion, the Christian. It isn't the Muslim or the Buddha or this or that. They're not chopping their heads off. So there must be something behind the word Christian. And that's a serious, serious thing. But as we wean off the milk, you know, we want to get onto the more solid food to understand more. For some, this is the only time when you come to church once a week. That's the only time you put into it. You need to get off. You know, I try to tell people so much. You know, they're on the Facebook. They need to get into this book more so. Get into the book and not that book. Some of you don't even read or study. You know, but that's true with a lot of people because it requires time and effort and work. Hey, if you can only read a chapter or two a day, try to do that. Psalms are good. The Proverbs are good. You know, Jeremiah 2 says, "For my people have committed a double evil. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water." God is living water, right? "And dug cisterns." What's a cistern? For themselves. It's a tube that holds water. And it says, "Cracked cisterns that can't hold water." So you got your tunnel or your tube, and you got flowing water with the Lord, and all of a sudden you neglect Him. You got a crack in the cistern, and so you're gonna, and it doesn't hold water no more. You start leaking. You start laying back. You start easing up on your faith, and it's so easy to do because you know why? Because the devil's after you at all times. Don't ever think for a second he's not after you. Don't ever think for a second you're going to ease up and this or that. He's the roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. He doesn't need to go after the unbelievers. He's already got them going down that road. He doesn't need to help them out. He doesn't need to push them along. He goes after the church any way he can. That's why it's so important. That's why David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." It says, I shall not want for nothing. He doesn't need anything else. He has everything he needs. He's got the Lord. What more do you need? And it's a shame, you know, with the ministries, and you know, you see people hurting, you know, by drugs or alcohol or many addictions, and you know, they're not focusing on the Lord. They're not staying in the Word. They're not just giving their lives to the Lord because they want to be well. They want to do good. They want to feel better. They want to do better. But it's amazing. But they just push God out of their lives. That He doesn't. They don't give Him a chance to help them out, because it's such a great blessing and a great reward to stay focused on the Lord, and He does bless you. We, you know, most of us down here, we've never had to want for anything. I mean, really, if you think about it, you got a house, you got food, you got clothing on your back. You know, are you thankful? You know, a lot of people got it a lot worse. You know, God's right there. Other people will never give you the life you expect. Is that right? People are always like looking for other. Oh, he's got to do this for me or do that for me. That's why there's so much divorce and division. Everybody wants something for themselves. Christ is not enough for some people out there. You should have everything you need in Christ. He is so fulfilling. No one else is going to fulfill you like Jesus. He says he's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Some of you have bought into a lie, some people have bought into the lie, and it has been from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Right? Yep, we're going to Genesis now. The devil has been saying this from the very beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden. Day one, what does he say to Eve? Wow, that fruit looks good. Come on, think about yourself, Eve. Think about yourself just for a second. Come on, think about yourself. Take your mind off of the Lord and think about yourself. And just go ahead and take that forbidden fruit that He told you not to. Don't worry about what God wants. He just doesn't want you to eat from that tree, because if you eat of it, you'll become like Him. And now you're in charge, not Him. You get to decide what to do, right? You make your own decisions. He's saying, Eve, you do you. You do what you want. You're in charge now and not God. And God is the creator. That is some really, really gutsy, bold stuff that Satan has presented to get them to disobey God. Satan wasn't saying to her, look at me, worship me. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, no, look at yourself. Let's get away from that God over there. Let's get out from being under His leadership and all His commands. And He has no right to tell you what's right for you. You do you, same now as it was back then. He's saying, you do what you want to do. It's about you. It's all about your pride and what you want to do, what you think, and what you act. That's funny, everybody's taking pictures of themselves, sharing their thoughts, what they feel is right, because they have the knowledge of good and evil. They've got the knowledge of good and evil, right? But as Christians, we should be like, I don't want to look in the mirror. I don't want to look at myself. I want to look at Him, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says in John 10:10, says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I came to give you life. You know how He does it? How the devil tricks you? He hands you a mirror. He says, just keep focused on you and not Jesus, and you're going to be good to go. You'll be fine. You'll be perfect. Tell yourself you're brilliant. Tell yourself you don't need God. Tell yourself you're wise in your own eyes. And Jesus says, you're tired. You're heavy laden. Come stare at me. In Isaiah 6, this is another good one. This is when Isaiah actually saw God. Another one, stood in the presence of God, Almighty God. In Isaiah 6, it says, when Isaiah saw God in His glory, and the angels are screaming, holy, holy, holy. One of the first things Isaiah says is, woe is me, I'm a man of what? Unclean lips. He looks at God and then looks at himself and says, I'm ugly. I'm disgusting. I'm dead. You realize this and God cleanses you. It's not about us, it's about Him and all His glory. Jesus says not to look at yourself. He says to deny yourself. That's the message of Christ. He says for you to stop doing yourself. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and what? Follow. Follow Jesus. He says that quite a bit in the New Testament. He says, follow me. Told Peter to drop whatever he was doing and the disciples and follow him, and he will make disciples of them. You know, can you imagine, you know, and when he did come to that conclusion of having people follow him, they just dropped whatever they were doing. It doesn't matter what it is. He just dropped everything. And he told the guy, the one guy, he says, well, come follow me. He goes, well, okay, I'll come follow you, Jesus. But wait a minute, I got to go bury my dad who's dead. What does Jesus say? He goes, let the dead bury the dead. Right? They're dead. Especially in him. I like this part too of this scripture right here. It says, he says, and, you know, part of the Isaiah, he says, and if you're going to try and save your own life and show everybody your life, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, that means deny yourself, then that's how you will find life. God wants us to know Him and to love Him. You know, that's why when people go through life and the riches of life, you know, the bottom line, there's nothing wrong with, you know, wealth. I'm not saying nothing like that, but it's just like, yeah, you're rich in material things. You're rich towards your money. You're rich towards your health. But are you rich towards God? Are you rich towards where you're going to spend eternity when you die out of here? I'm talking that riches. Those riches are unsearchable. They're more valuable than you can ever imagine. And yet, you know, this world is so deceived, they're just marching into eternity in darkness. There's no light, like we learned this morning. You know, God is light, not darkness. What does it mean to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Jesus? That's a good question. Matthew 16:24 says this. You know, we're going to try to break that down in some ways here. Take up his cross refers to what? The death march of the Christian disciple. Right? That's why when you're baptized, you're the old man going under, you're dying with Christ, you're coming up, and now you're a new creation in Christ. You're a brand new person. So, take up his cross refers to the death march of the Christian disciple, and who is figuratively sentenced to crucifixion over his decision to follow Christ. You're making a decision to follow Christ, and you're sentenced to his crucifixion as well. The Christian must be prepared to give his life for Jesus. Follow me requires the disciple to follow the example of his master. Emulating Jesus' character and behavior. Jesus said, if you love me, what did he say? If you love me, you're going to what? Keep my commandments. Yeah, Dana, that's right. I always think about that all the time. I said, if I, you know, when I'm reading the scripture, whatever Jesus says, you know, and if you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. No doubt about that. You know, that's showing your love for our Lord. Reject the natural human inclination towards selfishness. Paul says in Philippians, but whatever gain I had, I counted loss for the sake of Christ. To become more like Jesus in holiness and obedience for God. Isn't that amazing? You know, it's just like he counts it's rubbish. I mean, he says that, you know, whatever I gain, I had. He counted it for loss for Christ. I mean, you know, Jesus is so clear. He's so humble. He's so loving. He says, I like that scripture. He says, I think it was Luke or something. No, it's not Luke. He says, to become more like Jesus in holiness and obedience to God. That's why it says, you know, become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. That's why his great love, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's what you, when you receive the Lord, you get that immediately. You know, for what does it profit a man if he's gained the whole world, right? Your eternal soul is what counts. What does it profit a man who gained the whole world but yet loses his own soul? Or what could you give in exchange for your eternal soul? There's nothing. That's the most important thing you possess. So as today's message, you know, let us be more Christ-like. Let us be more looking to Him and, you know, and others. Amen, man. Amen. Not, you know, and not being selfish. And in this new year, trying to grow in Christ more and do things and encourage one another, you know. That's what it's about, you know. And is it easy? No, it's not easy. It's not easy, but the rewards are there, you know. You know, having fellowship. You don't want to, you know. In 1 John, it's like I said, you know, if you don't want to walk in darkness, you know, you want to walk in the light with the Lord. Every day, you know, keep focused on Him, and He will take care of us. No doubt about that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what the key word, I shall not want. We shall not want. Right? Yep. Father, we just thank you for this time that you've brought us together in this church here, Lord. And we just lift your word of God up. It's so beautiful, Lord. And Lord, gazing at you, as we say, as we read in this word. And that's all we want to do for eternity, Lord. You know, it's just like, we can't imagine that day, but there'll be a coming day, Lord, when we die out of here and we will see Jesus in His glory as He is. And we will be like Him, Lord, and we will get new bodies, Lord. Amen. For this life just passes away. And Lord, for this new year, we just pray for a blessing that you would lead us in your way and promote your kingdom, Lord. And Lord, again, we just want to lift up all the sick and dying right now. There's many of them out there, Lord. For Jennifer Kelly, Lord, we pray for a miracle on that, you know. And we also want to lift up Brian Kelly and her kids too, Lord. We also want to lift up my brother Pat to you too, Lord, who's been sick. Anita Donaldson, Lord, thank you for Sabrina and Alana. And we pray for Jerry taking care of her. That's not easy, Lord, what he's going through over there. But just give them strength, Lord. And we just pray for our ministries. Pray for this kids club. We want to lift up this radio evangelism that Dan's looking to get into, Lord. And like Ray was saying today, even if we bring one family into the church, mission accomplished, Lord. So we just lift all these things up to you, Lord. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.